So God is telling us here in John 15 that we can't produce fruit unless we're part of God and part of Jesus Christ. And He is the one who produces the fruit. We'll carry on here in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Always remember that. Now it says here in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, and you can also put an angel there if you'd like, because it really does, it really is talking about an angel. He is cast, he does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather him and cast him into the fire, and they are burned. Well, we know only Satan's going to be burned in that fire. So in verse 7 he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and I will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in that love. It says, if you keep my commandments, if you're one of the first fruits, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And that is what God has for us. He says, these things, in verse 11, have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, might be absolutely full. And God certainly has done that to all of us. And the only way we can abide in Him, of course, is to have His Holy Spirit. But He is looking for fruit. And fruit can only come with His Spirit. So if the Spirit of God isn't in this world, which it isn't, what happens? It doesn't bear fruit, does it? God expects fruit, good fruit. He demands it. That is His way. He will not tolerate anything that is unfruitful, physically or spiritually. Here's a verse here we can look up later, but it's in Psalms 1, verse 3. It says, the godly man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. You know, the fruit of the body is children. The fruit of the body is children. Let's look this up. This is back in Psalms 127. Psalms 127. I never liked it when people just quoted the scriptures, but I guess sometimes we just have to, but certain of these we want to read with our eyes. Psalms 127. Starting in verse 3. You know, I said that the children are the fruit of the body. It says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. It says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in their gate. And he talks about them destroying enemies in the gate. But he says is happy if that quiver is full of children. You know? Well, is that the way it is today in this world? Not very often. If it is, you know, in your home, then be blessed with that. Because too often it's the other way. In Proverbs 17, verse 6, since we're back in this part of the Bible, Proverbs 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Is that the way it is today in this uncircumcised world of Satan? No, I don't think so. Most fathers and sons don't like each other, and they don't even like the grandkids, and it's just not that way. Why? Because it's the fruit of this uncircumcised world that we see and that we deal with today. That's where the problem is. It's not going to be that way later. The physical creation is really a wonderful and beautiful thing. You know, it really is when you look at it. God made it to function perfectly and to continue forever. Everything will produce fruit in its season. And it won't produce it every month in the woman, because that was greatly multiplied. It's going to be done properly and at the proper times. Now, ladies, you know, don't panic, because I know where the minds are going with this. Don't panic. Women are not going to be simply be baby makers, you know, baby making machines, you know, for all eternity, you know, to be doomed to be an almost perpetual state of pregnancy, morning sickness, and the endless stream of dirty diapers. You know, it's not going to be that way in the great last day, so don't worry about that. First of all, you all should be spirit beings at that time as first fruits, so you don't have to worry about that, but you worry about the rest of the ladies. And it's not going to be that way, as you'll see as we go along. Remember, God told Eve that her conception would be, and it was, greatly multiplied. The monthly cycle, her season, was the result. It is physically impossible for a woman to produce fruit in her season at this pace. Can't do it. This condition burns itself out. It ends with a totally barren and sterile womb. This all came about because of Satan, didn't it? And that's not going to happen, of course, in that time. This will not be the case in the great last day. God will restore his creation to the way he originally made it, absolutely perfect and good. How long these cycles will be, we won't know until that day comes. And we won't even hazard a guess. There was a number of us who speculated on that, and it got all blown out of proportion. So you learn, hey, did God tell you? Then stop. Wait. Have patience and faith that he's going to do it the right way. We know that it was greatly increased, so it will be greatly reduced back to the way God intended this to be. All evil will be destroyed by that time in the great last day. Nothing will be contrary to God's way of life. Everyone's minds, attitudes will be right and proper. Everyone will always want children. Remember, human beings together, being one flesh, in families, will always want to have children. There'll never come a time when you don't want children. And it looks like God has automatically spaced out the timing that children can come along at the proper and right time within the marriage and within that family, that the kids aren't all hanging over everybody, wearing everybody out. You know, the idea of childbearing is not to rip off three or four kids real quick and then, oh, now, and get through their high school years. Now I'm done with them. Get these little rug rats out of here. Move out of here. I don't want to see you. I got my life to live now. Isn't that basically the way it is? Yeah, it is. And it's not going to be that way. There's actually, I know this is really hard to conceive, but there's actually going to be love in the family. And there is no love now. The only love we have at all comes from Jesus Christ. And all of us down here in a very satanic state as we are, don't carry that love out too well, do we? But they will always want children. It will be a joy and a delight always to have them around. Children will never be or even considered to be a burden. There won't be any bratty, rebellious little monsters running around causing grief and making life miserable for everyone. That's basically what we see today. Now, are we going to blame the children? No, don't ever be foolish enough when you're in a restaurant or anywhere else to blame the child that is acting up. It's not their fault. It's not their fault at all. And neither will there be any ignorant and untrained parents making all kinds of mistakes in their children's upbringing. Because that world of Satan won't be here anymore. It won't be a world of get, it'll be a world of give. Parents will finally be the kind of parents that God intended every child to have. They will be worthy. They're not now. They will be worthy of love and honor and respect that God commands. They will truly love their children, every single one of them. And they may have, you know, it goes on for eternity. They could have 3 billion kids apiece, and they'd love everyone. You know, the word 3 billion, just, it makes you shudder, doesn't it? So maybe we'll bring that down. They'll have as many children as they're supposed to have. And but remember, they're going to be basically young and live forever and be in childbearing age forever. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? You know, we read that one scripture, I didn't plan on going in that, but the one word we always used to use that for this 100-year period, when everyone was going to have their chance, of course, that's nowhere in the Bible. But it says a child will die at 100 years old. Now, we know no one's going to die, so what does that mean? It means in that time, see, everything's been greatly speeded up, everything, not only the conception, but our whole lives. This is a child. See, he's going to cease being a child when they're 100 years old. You know, most all of us, whether we are in our 20s or 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, you know, we really don't know what we're doing, do we? Do we really know how to raise children? Oh, we know, we knew how to have them. But did we really know how to raise them? You know, we're still learning. Wouldn't it be nice if a child would be with their parents for 100 years? Now, this is in a loving, teaching, wonderful, God-fearing, and loving family. You know, if all that conception and all that has been speeded up, all the puberty and all of that was speeded up too, wasn't it? Wouldn't it be nice, everyone, all ladies and gentlemen, Wouldn't it be nice to have dated when you really knew what dating was about? The right way to date and have the maturity to have a good relationship? Yeah, yeah, it really would. We have some awesome times coming ahead of us, and they're only perfect. The perfect times are coming, and we're looking forward to that with all excitement, because we see now more and more around us, and we see Satan now more and more, because he's being revealed more and more to God's church first, and then he'll be revealed to the world, and they'll get a little eyeful of him before he's chained up. In a conclusion here of just with the woman's cycle, and then we'll continue on, I'll just read this, what we have in this article, because I think it states it very well. So let's come back and focus on the here and the now, and again ask ourselves what it is that God sees when a woman has her sickness, this filthiness that he's called it. How does it differ from our thinking? And this is what we're going to be getting into now more and more, is how God sees all of this. And we'll finish it up, of course, next week. It says, when we think of a woman's 28-day menstrual cycle, the emphasis and focus has always been on blood, hasn't it? And you can see why I want to read these things. I don't want to take all this from memory. I'm just reading it. But it's always focused on the blood, isn't it? It, the blood, is the sign we look for to let us know that a girl has become a woman. It shows us that her body has developed and is working properly. It is what shows that a woman has the ability to bear children. It is what every woman is asked about by her doctor. It is looked for. It is expected. It is good. It is normal. It is a fact of life. Pregnancy is simply an interruption of it. When it stops, she is over the hill. You know? Hard to say that, but that's what it is. This is every woman's dilemma. She knows that it is necessary for her overall well-being and that she must go through it. Sometimes it is actually a relief to her when it finally comes, because it means that the misery is almost over. It is what lets her know that everything is the way it's supposed to be. But at the same time, she hates it. That's really, you know, those couple of paragraphs there I just read kind of sums that up, doesn't it? And it kind of sums up our view of this. The emphasis of the whole cycle is centered around the regularity of the period. The issue of blood, the menstruation. That is why it is called the menstrual cycle. That is the key sign that everything is right and good, see, with the body. Everything is okay. The cramping, the irritability, the bloating, the water retention, etc., are all accepted as a normal part of it. They come with the territory. It just so happens that some have it worse than others. They just have to live with it. This is how all mankind has been brainwashed to think. It is time that we now look at this from the Father's point of view and truly see it for what it is. Now, I would like to say, certainly, you know, that is what goes on, and there is that cycle, and that's what we're stuck with today. And And if you aren't having those cycles, then, you know, then there is something wrong. And that is what the doctors look for. And that is what you look for. And right now, that's what we have, and that's what our understanding is. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't look for that now, because you should. But you're going to get an idea of what it really appears to be. It says, mankind was created physically perfect to live forever eating off the tree of life. Then Satan was allowed to come in the Garden of Eden and put his satanic nature within all human beings. The Father had to show that mankind was no longer part of his. See, this is why this change has come. The Father had to show that mankind was no longer part of his, nor represented him. This creation didn't represent him anymore. They were under Satan the devil. So he took the process of the woman's ability to conceive and greatly speeded up and multiplied it to show that mankind could not bear fruit perfectly. And that mankind under Satan was not his fruit. Is a picture starting to show how God looks at this and why he did this? Why that barren womb would be there all the time, not producing fruit? Why that circumcision had to be taken place? Why that foreskin was there to show it was a covering? And that you couldn't see God? Because there was a covering. And why he's doing this with the woman's cycle to show. Because the majority of a woman's life, she's barren, isn't she? And the blood comes. The blood, the menstruation, comes at the end of the cycle, doesn't it? It comes because no life was conceived in the womb during the allotted time or her season. God calls menstruation a sickness, and he has a right to, doesn't he? Because it shows that there's no fruit from that creation, doesn't it? This is what causes a woman to be unclean and to have to be put away. This sickness is because of Satan, not because of God. It's because of Satan. Satan cannot produce good fruit. The woman is as a tree that is supposed to bear fruit in its season. The fruit, you know, it doesn't bear it all the time, does it? The fruit, at least down here, it doesn't. It bears it in its season. And a woman should bear it in her season. I'm not even saying it's a yearly season. We don't know what it will be. My thoughts is it's going to be a lot longer than a yearly season. It's going to be way out there. And it's going to be done properly and right. When she fails to do so, when she fails to bear this fruit, the sickness comes upon her, doesn't it? Time has run out for the living egg waiting to be fertilized. It withers and dies, and life then flows out of her body. It dies. The life of it dies and just flows out of her body. So she is barren and unfruitful. Remember, the life is in the blood. We read that scripture in Leviticus 17, verses 11 and 14. It's over. It's too late. There's no fruit. It flows out. When the blood comes, it's over. It's gone. Menstruation shows that there is no life. It shows death, doesn't it? When that blood comes, it shows death. God is life. Satan is death. Death and everything to do with death is an abomination before God. Brethren, he hates it. It is foul. It is disgusting. It is impurity. It's defiled. It's utterly, utterly defiled and utter filthiness, isn't it? It is evil. God will have nothing to do with it. It is contrary to everything that God is. It is, when all this blood flows, it is from this uncircumcised world. This is Satan's world, and all the fruit is bad, isn't it? In fact, there isn't any fruit. There is no fruit, so it is all bad. That is what God sees when a woman produces blood from her womb instead of life. Are we starting to see an overall picture here of why he's doing this? In the great last day, this isn't going to be happening. God has this well under control. There's not going to be that flow of blood then. Now don't ask me how he's going to accomplish and do that. But he's going to greatly slow down that whole process. Because remember, we don't have 70 years or 80 years to live then. We have billions and billions and billions of years, don't we? So he will do it in a way that it is proper and right, that everything is done, but women will always bear fruit, and men will bear fruit, and there won't be any barren, but it'll be his timing and his way, and the way it was originally planned, and nothing in his creation is going to show that there is no fruit there. In the great last day, people are going to be shown that they are God's creation, that they are God's children, and that they are fruitful because they are part of that vine. They are part of his family. So you must take an overview and see a picture that God is creating through the physical cycle. He is showing and displaying to mankind now, which is under Satan, that they are not fruitful, that they are not part of God's children, but someday they will be. And when they are, in that great last day, they will all eat off the tree of life and live forever, being fruitful as God's children. Now, brethren, do we see an overview there from all of what we have gone through in the past? I don't want to start. The next thing we're going to go into is just really talking about this creation, about the good tree and the bad tree, the good fruit and the bad fruit, about Satan's fruit and God's fruit. I don't want to start that now, but I think that we have been coming along well enough where we can go ahead and get that finished next week. But from what we have covered, to review this just a little bit, you know, we've talked about this circumcision and what it means to be circumcised and how those Israelites were in that wilderness for 40 years, and God had to have told. There is no doubt about that. He didn't forget about it. He told Moses not to circumcise any of those new children. And none of them were circumcised because they pictured this world. And they pictured a world without God. They pictured a world with Satan wandering around in that wilderness, just like they are today on this earth. And when they came to that Jordan River, which pictured coming into that resurrection and coming through that river. That river parted as well, just like the Red Sea. And they walked across on dry land into that new promised land, which showed or to picture the great last day. And when they came in there, the first thing that had to be done was all the males had to be circumcised. Because that was that covenant. And that covenant goes back to Abraham. And that seed of Abraham was Jesus Christ. And if he is the seed, and we are in him, then we are that seed, spiritually. And the first fruits, which all of those children of Israelites that came out of Egypt pictured. And those Levites pictured the first fruits. If you have not heard the full All the Days of the Holy Days series, please send in for those, the seven holy days, because we go through that in detail. And so that circumcision, that foreskin, had to be removed. It was a covering. And that's what that pictured and showed. And everyone coming up in the great last day, as Abraham is brought back up, he's brought back up physically to live forever, to be one of the ancient ones, to be one of the witnesses, the testimony, and have a testimony of Jesus Christ, and to tell everything of what happened back then. But he too will be brought up just like he came out of his mother's womb, and he'll have a foreskin again. And they all human beings, all the males will have to be circumcised in that great last day. And it is a covenant that stands with God. When he makes a covenant, he means it, and it lasts forever. He doesn't care if people break it. The covenant still stands. It's there. That's why, as we explained, first the people, when they came to Mount Sinai, made a covenant with God and says, "Lord, Lord, we'll keep it, we'll keep it. You write it, we'll keep it." He wrote it, they broke it. The covenant was broken. Moses had to go back up. God wrote it again. He says, "Now this time, friends, I make the covenant. I make the covenant with those people. If they break it or not, they come under the blessings and cursings. But this is a covenant to all mankind, and it'll stay forever. The Ten Commandments, the Holy Days, everything stands forever, doesn't it? Just like the covenant of circumcision. That covenant stands forever. When they come in the great last day, they will be circumcised. And they will be there, and they'll be a reminder forever that they are God's. They are God's children. And they are of God, and they are under God. God never, never backs out of his commitments. When he says it, that's the way it's going to be. And so the same thing with the woman's cycle. It is showing through that body because he greatly multiplied that conception, that monthly period. He made it into a monthly period. It was not before. But then mankind was made to live forever until he allowed Satan to do what he had to do. You may ask, why did he allow this? Why did God allow the pain and the suffering for all these years? Well, we'll get to that next week. And he has a purpose for that. There's a purpose that goes on forever. Remember, we're at the building blocks of this whole kingdom. We're not at the end. We're not in the middle enjoying it. This is the beginning of everything. We've always thought it'd be like the 7,000-year period. Now, you can't really find that in the Bible, but there's certain indications that may indicate that. And so far along the way, it's kind of staying to that, isn't it? And so we'll see what will happen. But with the woman's cycle, every time, every month that she goes through that cycle, and the blood comes, the life is in the blood. And all it's representing is death and no fruit. And it's showing that mankind is not fruitful, is it? God said to be fruitful. And we're not physically. I hope we are spiritually. Of course, God's Spirit works with us to accomplish that. So when you think of these things, get that overview of what God sees, you know, maybe not individually with each woman or individually with each man. That will come later. But he looks at this satanic world, and it's a world filled with disobedience. And it's a world filled with the children of disobedience. And who is their real father right now? It's Satan. He is the one who is unfruitful, and so are they. And that's the way that they are living. And that's how God looks and views at this world. That's why he's going to totally burn it up. And all mankind will die at some point. Because it was unfruitful, wasn't it? And God must destroy that. And we can look forward, brethren, to understanding this and a lot more. Now next week, we're going to go through God's fruits and Satan's fruits. We're going to see a little better view of how he looks at this whole situation. And we'll bring this all together at the end and give an overview again of what this is and what he has to say about the subject. It's a subject that we've never understood before. But only after understanding the true plan of salvation and having that revealed can we understand more about God's eyes, how he sees things. He sees things through circumcised eyes, doesn't he? And we should be and are more and more coming out of that uncircumcised world, coming into a world that we understand, and that's God, and seeing that clear and clear. So I think that we'll stop right there. And wow, for the second week in a row, I'm what, 5 or 6 minutes early. So maybe I'm growing and overcoming yet, huh? All of you may think that. So you all have a good week. Pray for the brethren around the world. Remember, they're all going to be with us. And pray for those Laodicean brethren as well. They are our brethren. They're just fulfilling a different part of the plan. As God says, that they will, later on, probably when the two witnesses come back and around them, they will be the Laodiceans will understand, and they will keep God's commandments again. The Bible states that. So they're fulfilling their purpose right now, and God has a purpose for doing that. So pray for them as well. And pray for all of our brethren everywhere. And all of us come back safely next week. So with that, we'll end today.